And the reading this morning is kind of what leads us into that song. Our young people know it. You know, you sit there and you sing with them, the wise man built his house upon the rock, the wise man built his house upon the rock, the rains came tumbling down. And then there's that second verse, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand, talks about the rains come tumbling down, and the wise man's house stands firm, the foolish man's house goes flat. And then he talks about the lesson, the moral is, build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful little song. And you know, the interesting thing is why, and I think we miss a very important element that Jesus was teaching that we have brought into that song that we maybe have left out of that song. You see, two sermons that Jesus preaches, one's called the Sermon on the Mount over in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, the other called Sermon on the Plain over here in Luke chapter 6. And in both of those sermons, we find Jesus there making similar statements. In Matthew chapter 7, there in verse 21, he makes the statement that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then when you go to the beginning of our reading this morning, there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, look at what he says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And both of these are followed by this parable about two builders and where they build and the results of what happens as a result of where they have, as a culmination of where they build. You see, there were many people that were coming to hear Jesus at this time in his ministry. As a matter of fact, you back up just one chapter here in Luke to chapter 5, and what you find there in verse 17 is that you've got the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They've come from every village in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Why? They're listening to Jesus. They're listening for the purpose of trying to find something that they can use against him, but they're coming to hear him. And then here in this chapter, in chapter 6, what we find back up in verses 17 and 18 of this chapter is that there are a large crowd of his disciples, that is Jesus' disciples. This is more than just the 12 apostles. And there's a great throng of people, Luke says, from all Judea and Jerusalem and even the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon over in the area of Phoenicia. And they've all come out to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So there's a lot of people coming to hear Jesus, but the problem is they're showing him the utmost respect. They're using the words Lord, Lord, which is a term of great respect. But Jesus knew their hearts. And he also knew their actions. He knew they came to him. He knew they heard his teachings. But they were not doing what he told them to do. Have you ever accused somebody of not listening to you? Imagine Jesus, because that's what he's doing. He says, you're not listening to me, not really listening. Maybe a wife has accused her husband. You're not listening to me. Oh, yeah, I am. Yeah, well, what did I just say? And you can't tell her what she just said to you. Oh, you heard words, but you didn't hear the context, the meaning of the words. You didn't hear what she was really trying to communicate to you. Or maybe a husband has said that to his wife. Usually it's more the other way around. Or maybe we've said that to one of our children. Did you hear what I said? And that child tries to remember what you just said to them about something that maybe they were supposed to do. You see, they heard words, but they did not hear the import of those words, go clean your room, or stop doing that, or whatever else it may be. Jesus has done the same thing in this Sermon on the Plain. He has spoken to them. He has said to them things that if they're going to follow him, they need to be doing. Things like loving their enemies. Things like blessing those who curse them, praying for those who abuse them. Things like not judging, not condemning, being merciful even as your Father is merciful, doing the things that God in the flesh is doing to those that are around Him, but they're not doing it. And so what He does is He tells a parable. And in this parable, He points to something that is lacking in their lives. You know, we've heard the story of the wise man and the foolish man for years. We've sung the song with our children at VBS time and time again. But have we truly seen what Jesus is saying with these words? This morning, as we examine the parable and its meaning, it's important for us to ask ourselves a question. This is the question I want you to ask yourself as we work through this parable. Which one of these builders am I? Which one of these two builders am I? Because what Jesus is saying to us is, there's only two builders and you're one of them. Which one? That's the question. Which one are you? And then as we examine that, as we understand that, I pray that our questions or our answers to this question are what they should be, because our answer, whatever you may answer, is very important, because it will determine how you will fare, not just in this life, but also in the life that is to come. So let's break it down. Jesus begins by talking about two houses being built. And the first house, He tells us, has a foundation. Now, here's the problem for us today. You see, we cannot relate, truly relate, to the building process that took place 2,000 years ago. We're so familiar with the way it is now. And those of you who've ever had a house built and have some familiarity with how the process goes, you understand this. Your contractor brings out a backhoe. He digs the footings with a machine. And then there is concrete ordered, and a cement truck brings it out, and a crew pours that concrete and fills those footings with that concrete and smooths that out and makes it nice and level. And then a block truck comes out with the concrete blocks that are going to be set, laid upon that foundation, and men work with their mortar and they lay those blocks. And then there's another truck that comes out with dimensional lumber, 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x8s, all of the lumber, including possibly trusses that have already been specified at the factory as far as the size, everything that they are to be, made to specifications. All of that is brought out, unloaded by a crane or some kind of machine, and then that is erected. And along with that, that's your lumber package. Along with that, somewhere there's going to be sheetrock brought out and put in the house. And there's going to be shingles brought out. And that's going to be set off by another machine. And all of this, now don't get me wrong, building a house is still strenuous work. But it is nothing like it was in that day and time. For several reasons. Part of that is you had to go out in the field and pick up your own rock, because most of your houses were made plastered rock. And you had to stack those rock, and you had to make mud, and you had to put that in and fill it in and smooth the walls. But even more, and this is where Jesus is drawing it from, you had to dig down and you had to have a footing. You had to find a foundation that house would stand upon. You see, in Israel, in Jesus' day, you could only build in the warmer climate. The warmer months of the year. After September, the rain set in. And they didn't have near as much rain as we have here. But what they did have could really change the dynamic of your building process. And so it is that a man would go out with some kind of handheld tool and he would dig. Some of you are old enough in this room to remember men digging footings by hand with a pick and a shovel. I remember my dad doing that on the little two-car garage that he built back when I was not even a teenager. Picking a shovel, digging it by hand in the clay dirt here in Tennessee. Some of you remember that, but imagine digging in Palestine, in the land of Israel, where in the dry months, the warm months, not only is it dry, that dirt, that ground is as hard as a rock to dig through. If you're going to do it right, you have to dig down to a solid foundation, bedrock. And That is what the good builder does. He digs down. And as Jesus points out, he digs down deep and lays a foundation on rock. This man isn't taking any shortcuts with his house. And foundations, as you know, are not the most attractive part of the building. I mean, concrete block and that sort of thing, we much more prefer the nice look of the brick and then the vinyl siding or whatever siding that we may choose. But foundations are extremely important. And the diligence of this first builder in building this house pays off. Because as Jesus tells us, there's a flash flood. The rain sets in, and as a result of that, in that area, there was nothing to hold back the water. And there's this flash flood, and it comes and it beats against this house. But because he's built on solid footing, on foundation, bedrock, it doesn't shake the house. It withstands what comes against it. But there's a second house that is also built. And in all likelihood, both of these houses look the same. Same appearance, perhaps. Maybe even identical. But this second builder chooses not to go through all the trouble that the first builder did. It's too hard trying to dig in that. That's too much trouble. That's too much work. This ground is hard enough. I can just build it right here on this ground. And so he forgoes the foundation and he builds his house on the ground. And like the first builder, he also experiences this rain, this torrent of rain, and the flood that comes down with it. And it's different for him than it was for the first builder. Because suddenly that hard packed dirt becomes nothing but mud. And those rocks that had been sitting on hard ground are now sitting on that which is no longer stable. And they began to give way because there's nothing supporting them. And suddenly, as we find here in verse 49, it collapses. And he says, and great was the fall of that house. Nothing left. Nothing to show for his effort. Now, here's where all of this comes in and applies to us this morning. What Jesus is saying is that all of us are represented in this parable. Every single one of us in this room are represented in this parable. We're one or the other of the two builders. And you see, the house that is built represents our lives. And the foundation that is used by the first builder that he digs down to and he sets it upon the rock, it is obedience to the word of our Lord. Remember what Jesus said at the beginning, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? That's the point that Jesus is making with this. He's comparing the two builders to individuals who are obedient or not obedient. He says, you call me Lord, but you don't care. You ignore the things that I say. When Jesus did this, he was actually drawing from one of the Old Testament prophets. Because you see, he went back to the prophet Ezekiel. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 33, there in verse 30, God tells the prophet that they're in captivity. And he's prophesying to the people of Israel, of Judah, who are now in captivity. And he's telling them, these people are standing around in the city by the city walls and they're talking about you. And there are people standing in the house, in the doorways of their houses, and they're talking about you. And here's what they're saying, Ezekiel. If you'll notice verses 31 and 32, he brings it out. In verse 31, he says, they come to you as people, and they sit before you as my people and hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their own mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. He says, they hear what you're saying, Ezekiel, but they don't do what you say. No, they're too busy going after what they want. They're too busy pursuing the things they desire. And notice how he concludes this in verse 32. He says there, behold, you are to them like a sensual song. sung by one, or a song by one who has a beautiful voice, plays well on the instrument. They hear your words, but they don't practice them. He said, you're like a good singer. They love to hear you sing. They love to hear your words. They love to see you play on the instrument. But that's all you are to them. I can see now why God made Ezekiel so hard-headed. It's because he knew what he would encounter. You see, a lesser man would have said, I'm done. If nobody's going to listen to what I'm saying, if nobody's going to obey what you tell me to tell them, I'm through. Let somebody else do it. I don't have what it takes to keep doing this. But Ezekiel didn't. He kept prophesying. He kept speaking what God said speak, even though the people were not doing what he said do. And you see, when Jesus says what he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? He says, you're just like the people in Ezekiel's day. You're coming. And that's what we find here in verse 47. The people came. They heard. But they weren't doing. The wise builder is like the one who comes, who hears, and who does, Jesus says. And so the question for us here today is, do we hear the words of our Lord and put them into practice? Or do we ignore the things he calls us to do? You know, to build a nice house requires time and expense, but in the end, it's worth it. You appreciate what you've got. You try to take care of it. But folks, to skimp on the foundation of a house and then expend extravagantly on everything else that you might put in the house, it's throwing your money away. Because if that foundation is not on solid bedrock, if it's not built to withstand a little storm, it's going to be gone. It's not going to last. And in the same way, what Jesus is saying is this: if you and I build our lives without that faithful obedience to Jesus, without that dedication to Him, He says you're setting yourself up for failure, not just in this life, but also in the life to come. There was an occasion when there were those, Jesus' mother and his brothers, came from Nazareth to try to get him because they thought he was beside himself. But they couldn't get into the house there in Capernaum because there was such a crowd. And somebody says, your mother and your brothers are out here. They want to speak with you. And what does Jesus say? Luke records it for us in Luke chapter 8, verse 21. He says this. He says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Those are the ones that are my relatives. They're the ones that hear the word of God and they do it. Or James put it another way over in the book that bears his name in James chapter 1 verse 22. He tells us that, he says that we are to prove ourselves to be doers of the word and not hearers only who, as he says, delude ourselves. For somebody to have come and listened to Jesus in his day and said, oh, that was a good message that you presented this morning. That was very good. And then to go away and never act upon the things he had said for them to do. He says, you're like the builder who builds with no foundation. You're building for failure. You're building expecting something to last and to be nice, but in reality, it's not going to be there when the difficult times to come. If anything, what this should teach us is that when we sing songs like Jesus is Lord, we need to be very careful in saying those words if we're not willing to follow what He tells us to do. But not only are each of us building a house, here's the other thing that we take away from this, and that is that every single one of our houses are going to be tested. Some kind of storm, some kind of flood, and we've experienced our share of floods in this town over the last few years, and we've seen what they can do. But All of us may not experience the same trials in life, but we are each going to experience trials in our lives. For some of us, those trials may be disappointments, setbacks in life. For some of us, those trials may be a prolonged sickness that really weighs us down. It may be a trial, may be being let down by those that we consider or have considered to be close to us that we have thought dependable. Maybe it's friends, maybe it's family who suddenly abandon us and are not there for us in the time when we need them. And that's a trial for us. How do we respond to that? For some of us, it may be the loss of a job, and then suddenly we're trying to figure out, how do I support my family? How am I going to take care of the needs of those around me that I'm responsible for? It may be the loss of a loved one that we're close to. But all of us are going to face some kind of trial at some point in our lives. All of us. And then there are those storms that come with those who are all of us who are growing older. And many of you know those far better than I do. Loss of health. Loss of our strength. The struggles that come with the limitations of our mind. I can't tell you how many of you have come to me when I've forgotten something I've tried to say. It only gets worse, preacher. It only gets worse. Thank you for reminding me of that. I realize that more and more each day. Or maybe the limitations of our bodies. I can't lift what I used to do. I can't last as long as I used to last, we say. And we realize these are things that we have to contend with as we grow older, and it doesn't get better. And then there's the reality of our own death. One of these days, we're not going to be here anymore. And you see, all of these are the floods and the storms that we're going to encounter at some point in our lives, and the question is, how do we prepare for those? How do we make sure that when they come in our lives, we're ready? We can withstand them. Jesus says, it's by listening to me and being obedient to me. It's living the life that I'm telling you to live. Folks, living the Christian life is not easy at times. When He challenges us, He calls us to love our enemies. That's not easy. When He calls upon us to bless those who curse us, that's not easy. When He calls us to be merciful to those who are unmerciful toward us, that's not easy. But it's the life that you've been called to live if you're going to live as a Christian. It's what He calls you to be, different from this world. And in addition to all of these storms that I've shared, I haven't even included what Satan brings in your life as he works in this world to deceive you and to lead you away from God. Young people, have you ever been tempted to cheat on an exam? Sure, everybody has at one point in time. Have you ever been tempted to lie to someone? Satan is working to, how are you going to withstand that storm? Oh, come on, a little lie won't hurt anything. Besides, if you tell your parents the truth, you're going to get in trouble. Dad used to tell me the truth always hurts worse or less than a lie. I found that to be true. And Satan tempts us to do those things. He tempts us to cheat. He tempts us to steal. He tempts us to indulge in immorality. He tempts us to pursue the fleeting satisfaction of riches. Whatever it is that he thinks will lead us away from God, he's going to tempt us to do that. And how are we going to withstand when he keeps pouring it on, keeps confronting us day in and day out with something else that he wants us to do to lead us even further away from our Lord? You see, in all of that, what Jesus is saying is that the only foundation you can build that's going to last, that's going to withstand, is the foundation of Jesus Christ himself. Paul said it, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. He said, there is no man can lay a foundation other than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. And long before Jesus ever spoke this parable, the prophet Isaiah had something to say about it. Remember the idea of a foundation. Well, God, through his prophet Isaiah, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 28, you find this. What God says is, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation. And listen what he says about this stone, this costly cornerstone. He says, it's firmly placed, and he who believes in it will not be disturbed. Well, who is that? That's Jesus Christ. He's that precious cornerstone which the builders rejected, but which God has used to build his church. And I haven't mentioned the one last trial that every single one of us are going to face and every one of us are going to experience. It's the trial of judgment. It's standing before our God, actually before Jesus, the judge of all the earth, and having him declare us righteous or unrighteous, having us inviting us in, I'll use that word, to the heavenly home, or saying, I don't know you, depart. Folks, if we've spent our lives deceiving others, claiming to be Christians, but living a life of disobedience, we're going to find ourselves thoroughly unprepared for that great trial when we stand before him at the last day. We will only withstand the various storms of our lives and be ready to stand in judgment if we have lived lives of faithful obedience to Jesus Christ. So what am I saying? Jesus calls us to do the hard things, just as he did those that followed him in those days, those that came out, listened to what he said, but didn't go and do. There were those that went and did. There were others that chose not to. You see, as I said at the beginning, he calls us to love our enemies. He calls us to do good to those who hate us, to bless those who curse us, to pray for those who mistreat us. Right here in this very sermon that he's been preaching, he calls us to treat others the same way we want them to treat us. He instructs us to be merciful, even as our Father is merciful. He tells us that we are not to judge, we are not to condemn, we are to be people who are forgiving, we are to be people who are giving. All of these things that we've looked at over the last 3 weeks. And if we hear these things, if we have listened to these things over the last 3 weeks, and we've walked out these doors and we've said, the preacher had a pretty good sermon today, but I'm going to do what I want to do the way I want to do it. Folks, you haven't rejected me. I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm planting seed. I'm watering it. This is God's word. This is what God says. And I'm asking you, don't turn a deaf ear to him. Don't ignore him. Don't walk away and call him Lord, but choose not to do what he says to do. Follow him. Faithfully follow him all the days of your lives. And then you know what? When the storms come, and they will, you'll be able to withstand them, because your faith is founded on something that is solid. You've been obedient to the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will not abandon you in the time when you need him the most to withstand those storms. I promise you, that is true. There are only two houses being built. Houses with foundations, houses without foundations. Which one are you? Which one are you? I pray that you're the one that's building deep, going down, looking for that solid footing, that rock. The rock is Christ. And that you're going to build your life on him all the days that he gives you here upon this earth. But if you're here today and you haven't begun to dig that footing, I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you today to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only Savior that God has provided for all of us in order to be with God eternally. And we have to believe in him, and we have to be willing to confess that belief on a regular basis, not just one time in front of this audience, but every day of our lives. And we have to be willing to be buried with him in baptism so that he can wash away our sins. Are you willing to do that today? And if you're a Christian who, you know, I've been listening to sermons, I've been reading God's word for years, but I haven't been doing what he's been telling me to do, and I know that. Today, will you change that? Today, will you say, no more. I'm gonna live obediently before him. If we need to pray with you, if we need to help you obey the gospel,